Are you the type of person who needs to see a game played before you feel comfortable playing it yourself? Today's episode can act as a primer to your gameplay, letting you observe before you try it out. We will cover the core mechanics of Goblin Quest gameplay, such as dice rolls, rerolling, and action tokens, how to deal with goblin death, and how to finish your Goblin Quest. Welcome to Claim to Game, the podcast helping busy people master tabletop role-playing games one game at a time. I'm Clint Shire. I've been an educator for over 12 years and have helped gamers of all levels quickly grasp tabletop role-playing games so they can enjoy playing them to the fullest. Stay tuned so that you can make your claim to game. Hello and welcome back to Episode 8, Season 1 of Claim to Game, a predominantly educational fun podcast in which I am daring to coin the word fungicational. It's like if you happened upon a Hershey Kiss, opened it up, and found a golden ticket inside to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. The Gene Wilder one, of course. Johnny Depp's was twisted and a nightmare filled with clones of Indian-British actor Deep Roy. The game for this season is Goblin Quest the RPG, brought to you by game designer Grant Howitt, whose works include, but are not limited to, Honey Heist, Die the RPG, Spire, Unbound, One Last Job, Heart, and most recently at the time of this recording, Eat the Reich. In an email sent during the holiday season from Rowan, Rook, and Deckard, the company that Grant started with his two business partners and friends, Grant said the following. Goblin Quest is a proper kids game, which means A, it's dead easy to run and play, B, it enforces drawing and silly voice rules, and C, it's disgusting, it's gross, it's about horrible grotty little buggers robbing each other, and that's precisely what I enjoyed reading about when I was a nipper, and it's about 15 quid, which is basically free in RPG terms, isn't it? By the way, if you are not a Brit, quid is a British pound, which is also equivalent, if you are an American, to $1.27, $1.27 in U.S. dollars. If you're not a Brit or an American, you might want to do a quick Google search to figure out the cost of this great game, because it still is really cheap for the price of the value that you get. And I do want to draw your attention to Grant's first point. Letter A, it's dead easy to run and play. Whether you are playing with children or adults, I believe this can be true. It's easy to play. I'm going to cover some of the small points of discussion to get you started without a hitch. And by now, if you've listened to all the previous episodes, you are probably like, come on, Clint, just play the damn game already. And we've spent time exploring the setting, character creation, quest building, and now at last, yes, now at last, it's time for you to get silly with your grotty little buggers. Now, we are going to explore in the next episode that age-old question, to Game Master or not to Game Master. Do you need a DM or GM or do you not? We're going to move forward today, assuming that we have no Game Master and that everybody at the table is going to be a participant as a player character with their very own clutch of goblins. Someone needs to set the scene to get things going. This is normally the GM. So since we don't have a GM, anybody randomly can do this for your group. Pick somebody. The book says the tallest player. But it might actually be easier if the person who set up the gaming night or organized the whole dang thing does it. It's less confusion, less hemming and hawing, especially from your new players who haven't found their spontaneous courage yet to jump in and get things started. And it gets you right into gameplay. So a suggestion to set the scene is to consider, where are your goblins on the map or your made-up setting? Where are they starting? When I was playtesting with some other players, we found it was easiest just to begin in the middle of the map near the goblin mud pits and go from there. Then I would suggest restating the first task and the first stage of the quest. So if it were me and I was the one, based on the game that I created, saying the scene to get us all started, here's how I would say it. Our goblins are bickering and gnawing on old trash outside the small mud huts near the mud pits in the Great Battle Camp. One shouts, "I hate this same old trash meal! I'm fed up!" Our goblins have all heard our entire lives, which has only been about 1 week long, about the Grand Wizard Ball providing the finest dinner in the land. After much complaining, we are determined to leave our life of trash food behind and taste the finest dinner we've ever eaten at the table of the Grand Wizard at the Grand Wizard Ball in the Black Tower. First, we need to get the perfect wizard disguise. The bugbears over at the Dunn Inn should be able to help us with this. Let's begin. Now, whether what you say is much shorter, much funnier, or whatever, that's what came out of my mouth hole. So the next thing to consider is whose turn is it? And that's the beauty of it. There is no turn. There is no order. The way that you play is that you are going to use your action token. Each player is given an action token, which can be anything lying around your house. It could be actual tokens, coins, small toys, action figures, miniatures of goblins. I actually use some generic peg people from my children's room, which makes me think of that cool song, Clint's my name, stealing toys from children is my game, yo. But when you want to speak or take your goblin's place in the story, you need to use your action token, and you place it in the center of the table. Then describe what is your goblin going to attempt to do in order to get closer to that task one, stage one goal. Your description could be as long or as short as you want. You could be saying what is your goblin doing, or you could be speaking as your goblin, acting out the story with your own words, totally up to you and your comfort level. And then, yes, then comes the dice rolling. It is important for you and all the other players to have the result table from page 42 of the Goblin Quest book, either printed or pulled up in front of you at first. This will tell you the result of your dice rolls and how it affects your progression through the story. A quick recap of the table says the following. If your dice has the result of 1 or 2, your goblin incurs an injury. And each goblin on your sheet has 2 hit points, HP. Each checkbox next to your goblin is one of those hit points. And if you end up checking off both boxes, your goblin dies and you're on to the next goblin. If your dice result is a 3, something bad happens. And this neither hurts nor helps your story. It helps you in the fact that it lets you know what happens when your goblin's task did not succeed and you're left worse off. It does, however, negatively affect the next player's turn, as now they're going to have to add a -1 to whatever each dice roll result they have. So if they rolled a 3, they now have a 2. If they rolled a 4, they now have a 3. So it does affect the person who plays after you. If you roll and your dice has the result of a 4, something good happens. And this outcome, you get to describe a positive narrative result with the action that you did, but it still isn't an outright victory, helping you move on to the next stage. It does, however, give the next player a +1 to their dice roll. So if they rolled a 2, they now have a 3. If they rolled a 4, they now have a 5. And speaking of 5, 5 or 6 is a victory, baby! Wait, no, not a victory, baby. That would be a baby that looks like Julius Caesar riding on a centaur with a machine gun eating pepperoni pizza and cake. No, I am talking about #winning. If the result of any of your dice equals 5 or 6, then you are getting somewhere. You describe what your goblin's actions are going to do. They go off without a hitch, and you get to subtract 1 from the current difficulty rating of your stage that you are in. Now, remember, once your crew rolls enough victories to bring the current stage's difficulty down to 0, you get to move on to the next stage of the quest and hopefully on to the next task. And when it comes to how many dice you're actually going to get to roll when you're trying to act, this is determined by how many of your goblin's characteristics found on your character sheet that you are conceivably, and dare I say reasonably, able to include when you're talking about what your goblin is trying to do. So remember, we came up with your goblin's quirk, dream, expertise, ancestral heirloom, and defining feature for each specific goblin to tell them apart. You always get to roll at least 1 dice, but technically, if you are super creative, you could roll up to 6 dice at a time. What threw me off And this is so silly, because if I just read the instructions, it would have made perfect sense, is that every dice counts. And it might be possibly because I've been playing too much Star Wars RPG, Fantasy Flight games with my friend Robert, where the dice results cancel each other out. Comedian Jim Gaffigan would say, gosh, can't Clint even read? Well, yes, every dice counts. So even though I'm rolling more dice, it could potentially give you more victories. It could also potentially give you an equal opportunity for more goblin injuries, goblin deaths, which would end the reign of terror you're trying to attempt to bring upon the great battle camp. Some obvious dice rolling scenarios that must have come up during playtesting at this point in our gameplay. Let's talk about them. One is if you have a dice which results in a good thing, and then another dice which results in a bad thing. The final verdict is that you get a good thing. Good trumps over bad. However, if you get two dice that are bad things, and you only have one good thing dice, well, then those two bad dice just beat up and mugged your poor good thing dice. And so the final verdict is two bad things and one good thing equal a bad thing. And so because these are canceling each other out, regardless of how many good or bad things you get as a result of your dice, the next person will only ever get to add plus one or subtract one from his or her dice results. And I hope that's as clear as a goblin mud pit. Finally, if your dice result goes above 6 to 7, an example would be if a player rolled a good thing, and that gives the next player a plus one, and you're that player that decides to go next, and you roll your dice, and one of your dice is a 6, you get to add plus 1 to that 6, which makes it a 7. Then if you get a 7, you get 2 victories to help you reduce the difficulty rating of your current stage instead of the normal 1 victory point. On the other end of that spectrum, however, if the dice result goes below 1, so an example would be a player before you got a bad thing, and then you decide to go next, which means you have to add a negative 1 to any of your dice results. Then, if you roll a 1 and you are subtracting 1, that is 0. And that means that your goblin is instantly going to incur 2 injuries, which will result in a goblin death. Now, don't worry, your goblin injuries do not carry over to your next goblin. So if you already have 1 injury and then you rolled a 1, which gave you a 0, you're not going to give an injury to your next goblin. They do not carry over. And in the same vein of thought, victories, bad things, good things cannot carry over between tasks. So if you had a bad thing in the third stage of task 1, it does not give a minus 1 or carry over to the first stage of task number 2. If you had victories in the last stage of task number 2, then you're not going to get extra victory points to apply to your difficulty rating in task number 3. And please remember, finally, you have a reroll mechanic. Remember that the reroll mechanic that you chose during quest creation, whether it was the goblin ear or the boss stick or the boss hat or whatever you did, follow that process if you don't like the dice result. Our crew that playtested this game constantly kept forgetting that we could do it. One player had to keep reminding us that we could reroll as our heads were in our hands, overcome with despair over our poor result, yet we could reroll. Note, if you do reroll, you have to take all of your dice and reroll all of them. You can't just pick the good ones and leave the bad ones. You can't pick and choose here. Quick pause on the show. Have you been listening to this first season of CTG and do not yet have your very own copy of Goblin Quest the RPG? Picture yourself pretending to be gross, grotty little buggers on your next game night with your closest friends. Laughs, goofs, and goblins. Don't wait. Enjoy your copy of Goblin Quest the RPG today by clicking on the link in the show notes. You'll be wreaking havoc all over the Great Battle Camp in no time. All right, back to the show. Speaking of choosing, let's choose to put all of this into practice with a quick lightning round of gameplay. I'm at the table with 3 other friends, total of 4 players. I'm using my goblins and the scenarios that we built in Season 1 here on Claim to Game. And we need a disguise, and we need to start with those tricky bugbears. I turn in my action token into the middle of the table, and I say, Kanker, my cranky goblin, stalks out of the goblin mud pits, cranky but determined. He arrives at the door of the Dunn Inn, and the bouncer opens up the slot, revealing 2 green, angry eyes. Yeah, what do you want? Password. Kanker is small, but using his long ape-like arms, his defining feature, he will lift up a beautiful skunk meat pastry that he baked earlier that day. Before speaking, he takes a quick sniff of his nose and is able to tell that this bugbear bouncer has recently eaten some onions. And so with his other long arm, he's going to pull out some chopped onions and sprinkle it over the meat pastry as a garnish. Kanker pipes up his squeaky voice and says,
"I ain't got no password, but please, sir, accept this offering as simple passage into this humble establishment."
And after 2 hours of talking that way, I'm going to have a sore throat. But at this point, this is when I'm going to roll to see how the story progresses. I'm attempting to bribe our way into the Dunn Inn, the abode of the bugbears, with this stinky skunk meat pastry. And because of the way I described what task I was doing and how I was doing it, I actually get some extra dice beyond my given one dice that I always can roll. How, you might ask? Well, let's recap. A, I used my celebrity baker dream to previously have cooked a skunk meat pastry that I'm using for a bribe. That's one extra dice. Kanker's defining feature is ape-like arms, which I'm using to reach up to the eye slot hole and entice the bugbear bouncer. I'm also using the other ape-like arm to reach up and sprinkle the onion garnish on the pastry. That's another extra dice. My clutch's expertise is smelling things that make loud noises. This bugbear is loud, and it makes loud noises. I sniffed him and created the story that he had just eaten some onions to add onto the pastry. So that is another dice. I wasn't able to fit in my goblin's shifty amphibious eyes. That is the quirk of my goblins. But I'm sure the game will give me plenty of opportunity to use those amphibious eyes later on. And so that is a total of 4 dice that I get to roll. All of them count and will be individually assessed and compared to the result table on page 42. And so here I go. Alrighty, so I got a 5, a 5, a 2, and a 3. And here's what that all means. So we'll start with the highest numbers. The 2 5s are victories. We succeeded at our task, and in fact, we have actually knocked down our difficulty rating of stage 1 in task 1 from 3 down to 1, because those 2 victories take it down towards 0, where we can then move on to the next stage. The 2 is an injury, so I would go ahead and use my pencil or my pen and check one of my HP checkboxes next to Kanker's HP on his character sheet. And then the 3 is something bad, so it doesn't give me it doesn't take away a victory point. It doesn't give me anything for my current turn, but what's going to happen is the next person who plays will have a -1 to all of their dice rolls when it comes their turn to play. And my turn is done. The only thing I need to do is describe how this works narratively. So I'll say that the goblin held up, Kanker held up his skunk meat pastry up to the eye slot, and the bugbear on the other side was so excited to see meat that he threw open the door and in a very like cartoon comical style just slammed Kanker against the wall. Like if this was a cartoon, Kanker would be completely flat like 2D paper and just sort of like flutter off the wall onto the ground and then pop back into being 3D. So that's where he loses his one hit point. He is able to open up and get access, and the goblins, the bugbear says to the goblin, "Come on in, the party started." And as you walk in, all eyes in the room turn towards Kanker and his companions. So the other people, the other goblins that are with him, the other player characters. And that's where I'll say the -1 comes in. Everybody's sort of hesitant. They're a little bit wary or suspicious of a bunch of goblins coming into the bugbear's hangout. And my turn's done. I cannot play or take control of the story again until everyone has used their action token. And once everybody has, then that round is finished and everyone takes their action token back and you do it all again. And don't forget, when you get to the stage where your task's misfortune is going to happen, you let the player who decides to go first in the round explain what they're going to do. And then before they roll, then whoever wrote down that misfortune is going to open up their envelope or piece of paper and explain what's going on to the group. What is the misfortune that is befalling everyone here? And once that's said and done, you can incorporate that misfortune into the story, and it explains why the difficulty rating of that particular stage is a little bit higher. Now let's pretend that this stage is where the misfortune occurs. I describe how Kinker is going to bribe his way into the Dunn Inn with the skunk meat pastry, but before I roll the dice, the player who was chosen to secretly roll the misfortune for task one will dramatically, of course, reach over, grab the note or envelope where they wrote down the misfortune, and they will say in a loud voice, "Swifts appear and dive bomb the goblins to eat lice out of their hair." And I like that because that maybe is the reason why the bugbear didn't see Kanker and he slammed open the door, hence the 1 HP that was checked off of the character sheet for my goblin. Okay, two more things here to wrap up with gameplay. What happens if your goblin dies? Well, if you still have goblins left, you can move on to one of the other six goblins in your clutch. You don't necessarily have to go in order. You will move to play that next goblin when the next round begins. And if you've run out of goblins and they've all died, you still have a way to contribute to the story and to the overall task. What you get to do is you get to take over the role of a friendly non-goblin NPC. You can make up this previously non-existent character before the beginning of the next round and introduce them when you hand in your action token. NPCs work a little differently than the goblins. They only get to roll one dice when they act, but can roll two if they're acting to their strength. So an example would be if you are playing as a hobgoblin who's very intelligent and good at writing and book smarts, and you do something that is book smarty, then you would be able to roll an extra dice. NPCs do have two injury boxes, but they can't die. And if you're both ticked off, both not like angry, but if both boxes are ticked off, they are just out of the current stage. Your NPC is out of the current stage, and then they can heal up and appear when the next stage begins. You can create a new NPC at the beginning of the next stage if you want, or you can play that same NPC if you really like them, just all healed up and ready to go. So how do you know when you're done with this game? How do you know when you successfully finished your quest and succeeded, or you utterly failed and everybody died? Well, that's exactly how you know you failed. If all the players' goblins are dead, you lose. Good day, sir or madam. If you and the team happen to make it all the way to the very end of stage three on task three, and you were able to bring down the difficulty rating by rolling enough victories, you achieved your goal. You completed your quest successfully. Regardless of whether you, quote, win or lose, there's always going to be an epilogue stage. And at this point, this is where each player gets to choose another player's goblin, and it can be one that died or is still alive at the end of the game, and create the ways that future generations of goblins will talk about this goblin, almost like they're passing into legend as a hero. This epilogue stage is a decompression stage. It's like a decompression chamber back into reality, which is not unusual for role-playing games. It allows players to have time to celebrate, feel their feelings, what they feel. It's a healthy way to acclimate back into the experiences that you just shared, and like I said, back into reality. And it's another time to just connect more with your peeps and have fun. And since Goblin Quest is so lighthearted, most of that sharing is going to be very positive and probably elicit more laughs. And at this point, you have played Goblin Quest. You could just shut this podcast right off now and go grab a friend or two or three and run a game. But maybe you should stick around just a little bit longer, because next time you are going to explore with me the question, to game master or not to game master? That is the question. Is a GM necessary when playing tabletop RPGs? And which mode works best for you when playing Goblin Quest? If this is the first episode you've listened to, welcome to the pod. Don't forget, if you'd like to get your own copy of Goblin Quest to follow along step by step as we learn, I will include a link in the show notes for you to purchase. Just a disclaimer, any products I provide links to in our show notes are affiliate links, and if you choose to use them, I may earn an affiliate commission at no extra cost to you. I do only promote products or services that I have fully investigated and feel can deliver value to you, such as Goblin Quest. Join us next week as we continue our quest, Claiming Goblin Quest. Let's answer that age-old question whether a GM is necessary or should take a big, fat hike. Can't get enough of the CTG podcast? Would you like to connect with like-minded gamers who want to learn more about tabletop role-playing games and how to play them? Find access to our Discord server, Claim to Game, by clicking on the link in our show notes or on claimtogamepodcast.com. Our community is a safe place to learn, share resources, and grow. Enjoy the CTG Discord community today. And until the next time, we make our claim to game one game at a time.